I wanted a new start. I wanted a new me. It was New Year's Eve, and I was standing out on my friend's patio. Behind me, a party was taking place with loud bass music thumping in the background. And as I approached the edge of the balcony, I put my hands on the banister and looked out this beautiful starry night. As I stared into the stars, my mind gazed away from the party. My mind thought, I want so much more than this. I had recently graduated high school, and I thought that my life would be so different than it was. That so much of my time and my energy were put into climbing social ladders and seeking my own popularity. And here I was, dissatisfied with what I had found on the other side. And looking out onto the stars, I hoped for a new start, a new me. New Year's Eve and New Year's Day evokes a sense of a desire of newness in us, doesn't it? For this reason, gyms know that 20% more gym memberships will be purchased in the first few days of January, as many of you are hoping for new bodies and new self-confidence. For this reason, too, dating websites know that their memberships will spike in the first few days of January, as people hope for new love in the new year. Today's December 30th, New Year's Eve. Where do you hope for a new life? Where do you hope for a new start? Our passage today is from 2 Corinthians 5. And Paul's addressing many of the same themes that New Year's Eve evokes within us, desire for transformation, for newness. So if you have your Bibles in front of you, I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians 5, or you can follow on the screen behind me. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 17. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Would you pray with me? Jesus, there are so many of us here desiring newness. And you know the places where we most deeply desire new hearts and new lives and transformation to come in 2019. And I pray that you, working through the life and presence of your Holy Spirit, would transform us into a new creation that knows this kind of ongoing transformation, that you would reach deep into our hearts and we would find that you are the great answer to our desire for new life and transformation. Amen. The letter that I just read from is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And Corinth is a city located in southern Greece. And the people of Corinth believed that they knew something about new life and about transformation. And they believed this because 150 years before Paul wrote his letter to the Corinthians, the city was completely decimated. The city was burned to the ground, and all the people were forced to leave and evacuate. And then in 44 BC, the current Roman emperor, Julius Caesar, reestablished Corinth as a Roman colony. And people flocked and flooded from all throughout the Roman Empire, especially people who longed for a new start. It was filled with former Roman slaves and people who felt trapped in their old lives and like they couldn't find a new opportunity and couldn't break out into the cities that they live in. And so they longed for newness. They longed for a new start. So they moved to Corinth, believing that in that new city, they would find their new start. And many of them did. Many of them did because Corinth soon became one of the capitals of commerce in the ancient world. That Corinth is located in a strategic location between Italy, the center of the Roman Empire, and Asia, a great place of trade and commerce in the ancient world. And as goods and people traveled between Asia and the Roman Empire, many of them moved through Corinth. And as goods and people moved through the city, business was good. Business boomed, and new commerce emerged. And many of the people who were disgruntled with their old sense of life found new life and new opportunity in the city of Corinth. And here in Vancouver, we've known a kind of new life, on the world stage at least, that we've gone from being this small Canadian city, overlooked by many, to becoming a place where people desire to move from all over the world, seeking to have a summer home in Vancouver or a new start in this beautiful city. In fact, some of you are here exactly for that reason. Perhaps it's the reason you moved here, or your parents moved here, or your grandparents moved here, for a fresh new start. And you too want a new economic opportunity, as Vancouver too is strategically located between Asia and North America. Many of you are here hoping for new life to burst in 2019. Where do you hope for new life? Well, for Paul, new life is more than just a new location or a new economic opportunity. But for new life to truly be transforming and to last, new life is centered in Christ. And this kind of new life involves both a new creation coming to be born in us with a sense of ongoing transformation over time. So let's look first at that new creation. Chapter 4 and 5 of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the second letter, is filled with creation language. And Paul is drawing on the imagery and the words that are found on the first page of the Bible in order to make a very important and potent point. And he's drawing on these images and words from the first page of Scripture to say that the same God, the same power, the same life that was powerfully at work at the very beginning, bringing light into the vacuum of darkness and bringing life where there was none, is so too at work in us, bringing his light into our lives and bringing his life into our lives. In chapter 4, 6, Paul says this, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' made his light to shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." The same God who is active bringing his light into the vast vacuum of space is continuing to work within us, no less powerfully, no less beautifully than he was at the very beginning. And I've known a little bit in my own life of the comparison that Paul is making here between the very first pages of the Bible and the work that Christ does in us today. That my night looking out onto the stars had led to a season of questioning and asking big questions in my life. In fact, I remember having conversations with my dad, who's here today, asking, what's the meaning of life and who am I and how do I seek and find answers? And this time of questioning led me all the way into the next summer when I began to attend church with a close friend. And I had seen the ways that Jesus had shaped and been at work in her and the big difference that he had made. And I was at a time when I was willing to try anything because I longed for newness to break into my life. And one day, one of the women in the church had recommended me saying some words as a way of getting to know and inviting Jesus more deeply into my life. And she had said, "Craig, why don't you try saying, 'I believe in Jesus'?" And if you didn't grow up in the church or you're not a part of the church today, then you know how strange these words are. I believe in Jesus. What do they even mean? But one day when I was driving southbound in my City of Vancouver work truck in the middle of rush hour, so we weren't going very fast. In fact, we weren't moving at all. And my windows were down because it was 38 degrees outside. I decided, you know what? I have nothing to lose. So in the work truck, basically parked beside all the cars beside me, as quietly as I could possibly whisper, I said the words, "I believe in Jesus." And in that very moment, I knew exactly the comparison that Paul is trying to make here. That just as God's light had broken into the vacuum of space, that the light of Christ had broken into the vacuum of my heart. And in that moment, it felt like God had turned a light on within me that I didn't know was there. And so I did the only thing that I imagined you could do in that moment. I said it again and louder. And then I said it again and louder and again and louder until finally I was yelling, "I believe in Jesus," in my work truck parked beside rush hour traffic with my windows down. I can't even imagine what the people parked beside me were thinking in that moment. But in that moment, I didn't care. I didn't care because I was feeling the new creation that God was bringing in me. The same power and life that was beautifully active and working in the very beginning of time, in the beginning of Scripture, was present and active working in me. And I'm a pretty inquisitive, questioning person. I love to solve problems. And so I came away that day asking, what actually happened in me? I'd said some words, and I felt like this new life and new creation had come upon me, but what actually happened? Was it the words I said? And I believe Paul, in chapter 5, 17, and he addresses this. He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new creation has come." If anyone is in Christ. That it wasn't the words I said per se that enacted this transformation with me, but the person behind the words. That I had opened my heart and my life to Jesus. And his life had broken into mine in this mysterious and profound way. And I had known the life of Christ in me. And as Paul says, I had become, therefore, in Christ. It's no wonder I felt like a new creation, because the Creator himself, the same life and light and power and beauty that was present and active in the very beginning of the creation of the world, were present, creating newness and new life and new light within me at that very moment. The kind of new life that Paul talks about begins with a new creation when the life of the Creator, of Jesus himself, comes to dwell within us through the Holy Spirit. Where do you long for new creation to come? But for Paul, new life involves new creation. But this new creation isn't the end. In fact, it's just the very beginning. For Paul, new life involves a new creation, but it also involves an ongoing transformation. And when Paul talks about new life in Scripture, sometimes in the English it can feel like it's something that has happened. But in the original language, Paul talks about it being a completed and ongoing reality, that it's something that has happened to us, but is happening and will happen. That we are a new creation, but we are becoming a new creation because of the transformation that God is doing in us. And shortly after I had called out in that work truck, "I believe in Jesus," I began to know the kind of transformation that Paul's talking about. That just a few months later, I found myself at the same New Year's Eve party, at the same house, but this time things were different. I wasn't there to seek my own social status or my own well-being or my own selfish self-interest. But I was there to cultivate deeper, more beautiful friendships with those that I had. And I was there to be a blessing to the people who were there. I wasn't so focused about my own social status, but about giving myself to the others who were around me. And I had noticed a change within me. But what was more remarkable to me is that the people around me, the people who had known me for many years, that they also began to notice this transformation taking place. And sometimes the transformation that happens in us is big. It takes place in a way that we very easily notice, or the people around us easily notice. But sometimes our transformation takes a little more intentionality. And so I've cultivated this practice in my life of each year doing a yearly examine, which is a kind of ancient practice of reflection. And so each year I go to a coffee shop and I take my calendar and my journal and I sit down for usually around 2 hours. And I go through my calendar and all the things that have happened to me in the last year and my journal, the things that I've written, the things that I thought, the things that I felt, the prayers that were answered and the prayers that were unanswered. And over that year, I watched the ways that God had been transforming me slowly. I watched how over 365 days of my life, God had been slowly navigating the ship of my life. Now, some of you may want to do a kind of New Year's Eve reflection, a New Year's Eve examine in your own life, but you don't know really where to start. And so we want to make this really easy for you. On 10th.ca or 10th.ca/examine, we've written out three simple questions. And you can go there and you can save them digitally, and we'll save a copy of you for the future. We've also printed them out on your programs today, on the physical copy and on the digital copy if you like. And you can take some time either today or sometime between now and January 1st to do a reflection on your previous year. The ways that God has been working, the ways that you're still waiting for him to work, and the ways that you're hoping him to work in the new year. And in the examine, we'll ask you three simple questions as a place to get started. The first question is, where have you sensed God's presence most profoundly this past year? Second is, where have you felt most distant from God this past year? And the third one is, where do you hope for something new to emerge in this coming year? So if you'd like to do a prayerful reflection, you can visit 10th.ca/examine or use your programs. In my life, the greatest kind of transformation that I've known has been the transformation of my character, the transformation of my inner life. But God doesn't just care about our inner lives, but he also cares deeply about our outer lives, our bodies as well. In fact, when Jesus was on earth, the most common miracle that he performed were physical healings. And if you've ever known in your own life a desire to be healed, if you've known the broken, painful body yourself or in the lives of someone who you love and know, then you'll know the great and deep ways that our hearts cry out for newness of our bodies. Not just our interior lives, but our outer physical lives as well. And Jesus cares deeply for our bodies, that the God who became flesh himself cares for our flesh and for our bodies. But it can be uncomfortable sometimes in the church because many of us have experiences of either watching TV programs or radio programs where people promise that only if we have enough faith or if we give enough or if we do enough, that we will know God's healing in our lives. And then when those promises go unanswered, we can take with us a deep sense of pain and regret and distrust that God wants anything to do with our own physical healing. But the life of Jesus and the testimony of the church over 2,000 years shows that God cares deeply for our physical bodies. In fact, just as much as our interior life, our interior bodies. Over the last 6 months, I've had the opportunity to get to know Davida, a member of our Mount Pleasant community, our 10th community here. And I've asked Davida to come and share a little bit about her own story, because she's someone who has known God's physical healing in her life, but still desires for more healing and transformation to break in 2019. So would you join me in welcoming Davida?
Hi, everyone. My name is Davida, and I have an incredible desire for the Lord to make me new in 2019. What I really want is for the Lord to heal me of cancer this coming year. I was diagnosed with a very rare type of aggressive cancer late last year, a type of sarcoma on the vagus nerve on both sides of my neck. The surgeon removed a tumor that was located on the left side of my neck, but another one grew back almost immediately. I was told further surgery couldn't be done because doing so would result in me having to have a permanent tracheotomy and feeding tube, meaning I wouldn't be able to talk or eat forever. He also said I could suffer a stroke while on the operating table, since the tumors were close to the carotid arteries. So the only treatment was that of chemotherapy, which I'm going through right now. Different types of chemo has been tried this past year with little success. An MRI that was done earlier this year showed that the cancer has now metastasized, meaning spread, to the liver and to the lungs. Not good news. So I'm presently on oral chemo now, like in the form of pills. A few recent MRIs were done. The MRI of the liver showed that the cancer cells were stable, which is good. Then one of the neck, however, showed an increase in the size of the cancer cells. The oncologist said she wasn't sure what that meant. Actual progression, or maybe not, that dead cancer cells sometimes look big too. But she said there was no way to tell which scenario it was. She did, however, indicate that if it did turn out that if the cancer was progressing, that there was very little, if any, treatment options left for me to try. She said she was willing to keep me on my current chemo regimen until mid-January, and that in the meantime would consult her colleagues to see whether or not anything else could be done. She also said she would be referring me to the clinical trials phase one unit, but that everything they did there was experimental, hence no guarantees of success. She also told me that I could try out the clinical trials that I myself had found in the U.S., like at the Mayo Clinic, but that I would be responsible for all of the costs, which would be very expensive, money I currently don't have. But with all of that in mind, the amazing thing is that this is not my first experience with cancer. I was diagnosed with three other types of cancer in the past, all deemed primary and separate cancers, all unrelated to each other. I was first diagnosed with breast cancer about 12 years ago, so I underwent a double mastectomy, chemotherapy, and radiation. All was well. And then I got diagnosed with lung cancer in 2015, deemed totally unrelated to the breast cancer. Then the Lord provided me with a magnificent, renowned surgeon who was also Christian, who was able to remove the lung cancer with success. Then a year after that, in 2016, I developed another new primary cancer, a sarcoma tumor near my heart. The same surgeon who took out the lung cancer performed an open thoracotomy, meaning opening up my chest, and took out the tumor with success. And I ended up running the Boston Marathon 5 days later with broken ribs, no less. So, and I didn't even know I had broken ribs till later. But anyways, the Lord was good. Then in 2017, I developed another new cancer, this one, the one I presently have. I was told that this was my fourth primary cancer. I was very sad to be diagnosed with cancer yet again because I was under the impression that I did everything right. I've never smoked, never had a drop of alcohol in my whole life. I ate fruits and vegetables, and I ran 20K a day. But you know what? Even though I was freaked out each time I was diagnosed with cancer, the Lord brought me through each one of them. That said, I am a bit sad, though, because sometimes I get the feeling that the Lord may choose not to heal me of the one I presently have. Because the evidence appears to show that nothing that has been tried has worked against this cancer. I realize from an intellectual point of view that the Lord's in control and that I should just give it over to Him and that whatever He decides to do or not do is all good and that if He decides not to intervene, that I'll be okay too because I'll be in heaven with Him. But you know what? Some days I truly believe that, but I'll be honest. Even though it'll be nice to be in heaven, I don't want to go there just yet. So, anyhow, my present goal is not to give this cancer more airtime than I absolutely have to. So I've decided to continue living my life the way I normally do. Like I'm continuing to work and I continue to train for marathons while going through chemo. The Lord has helped me to do over 100 full marathons thus far. So I just did the full marathon in Honolulu a couple of weeks ago, and I managed to finish, but with a very, very bad finishing time. It was a really tough one to do because I was still experiencing side effects from the chemo. But I won't tell you my finishing time. It was really bad. Anyhow, the Lord has been with me through thick and thin my whole life for as long as I can remember. Ever since I was about 4 years old. That's as far as I can remember. So I've been truly blessed. He, for example, also granted me other miracles. One in particular, He helped me through very challenging times when in school when I was young. I was failing a lot. Many teachers told me I shouldn't be on an academic program, but I didn't want to give up. So with the Lord's help, I kept on going and going and going and going, and Jesus provided for me big time, and He gave me the ability to attain a PhD in psychology, a true miracle based on my academic record. So what would I like to say? Thank you. So what I would like to say is this. Whatever your dreams are, in whichever way He wants to transform you this coming year, whether it be psychologically, physically, or spiritually, please don't give up. Keep plugging away with the Lord's help. I'm incredibly thankful to the Lord for everything He has done for me. Maybe this is selfish, but I want more. My desire is for the Lord to heal and transform my body in 2019, one that would be free of cancer. Anyhow, as you probably guessed, I'm not a giver-upper. I never was. And I will never give up. Could you pray for me? That would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Jesus longs to bring new life, new creation, and new transformation, even to our bodies. And sometimes this happens in expected ways, like Davida has experienced with medical science, and some of you working here today. I see Brendan up there, a medical school student. Many of you are doctors who work and partner with God in bringing new life and transformation into people's physical bodies. And sometimes this healing and transformation happens in unexpected ways as well. But it can be confusing for us when we're sitting in these dark moments, wondering whether healing or transformation are going to come. But sometimes our transformation doesn't match our expectation. But we are invited to pray. This last summer, my wife and I were traveling in South America through the Amazon jungle. And we were traveling with a guide, and we made our way onto this boat. And we were in a lake looking for a boa constrictor, this giant snake. Don't ask why. And we came around this blind corner of a kind of like a bay in the lake. And we came around, and we didn't find the snake, but soon we found ourselves completely surrounded by butterflies. We went looking for a snake and instead found butterflies instead. And only recently did I learn exactly what a caterpillar undergoes to become a butterfly. That a caterpillar weaves a cocoon around itself. And once it's inside this cocoon, the enzymes within the caterpillar's body literally break it down into its most basic amino acids. And the caterpillar experiences a real kind of death within that cocoon as it's turned into a kind of goo. And then once it's been broken down into these amino acids begin to rearrange themselves and transform themselves into something that's brand new. Something more beautiful than the butterfly itself could have possibly imagined. That the caterpillar undergoes this painful, unexpected death. But as a result, something more beautiful emerges as a result. And every part of the life of the caterpillar finds its way into the new life of the butterfly. Even the waste of the caterpillar becomes the crystallized color on the wings of the butterfly. And God has a way in our own lives of transforming the most broken, the most painful, the darkest areas of our lives into something completely unexpected and beautiful. Where do you hope that God would transform and break into the painful, dark areas of your own life? Where do you pray for his new life, his new creation, his new transformation to emerge in 2019? Sometimes our transformation doesn't match our expectation, but we're invited to pray nonetheless. And the reason we're invited to pray is that our transformation is not a hypothetical part, something that happens for the lucky few. But transformation comes to all of us, sometimes in the ways and times that we hope, like the first three healings that Davida has experienced in her own life, or in my own life, the ways that I've been shaped and formed in my character. But sometimes these healings and transformations happen at times and in ways that we don't expect. But the promise is for all of us that have Christ within us, the life of the Creator working within each of us, that God will eventually complete his transformation of us, that he will bring light into the darkest places of our hearts, that he will bring healing on our bodies, that Davida, that Christ will eventually conquer the cancer that is within you. And we will pray that it happens now, and that it happens soon. But sometime between now and his return, when he comes and resurrects our dead bodies back to life, he will complete the transformation that's within us. And some of you are here today, like Davida, hoping for something new to break in and to emerge, for God to bring a new creation and a new transformation in you in this next year. But like Davida has said, don't give up. It's not selfish to pray for more, but it's a part of our life of faith because God longs to bring more to us. And our invitation is to pray and to trust that God will eventually bring the completion of this transformation, either now or soon or when he returns. But God will make all things new. Where do you long for him to make you new? Where do you long for him to bring transformation and new creation? In a moment, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer together. But some of you will want to pray with someone else. We'll want to continue that prayer afterwards. And so I invite you with our prayer team who will be up here to the left or with our pastors, or perhaps you want Davida to pray with you, to come up after the service or to come and worship this transforming God up at the front. Because God longs to bring new life, new creation and transformation for you. Would you pray with me? And if you're able, would you extend your hands out in a posture of receiving? That God would give something new and beautiful in our lives in 2019. Many of you are familiar with the story of blind Bartimaeus from the Bible. And in the story, Jesus looks directly at Bartimaeus and asks a simple question. What do you want me to do for you? And so imagine in your own mind's eye, Jesus looking directly at you. And he asked the same question. What do you want me to do for you? Either in your own life or in the life of someone who you love. What do you want me to do for you? And in your heart, I invite you to respond. And tell him exactly what you hope for. It's not selfish to pray big and bold prayers, to pray for more. Jesus, our hearts and minds are full of a desire for newness to come upon us in 2019, for our inner life and our outer life. We pray that you would make us new, not just later, but that we would know your transformation in our lives now. We pray for healing on our broken bodies. We pray for new life and transformation to come to our characters, to our mental health and to our addictions. We pray that in 2019, you would make us new, full of yourself, as you, the life of the Creator, breaks into us, making us into a new creation. We lift these prayers to you, knowing that we can trust you and that you love us. Amen.